It's a beautiful morning on the pier in Baltimore and County Cork, and we're loading a steamroller onto a Ro-Ro ferry to make the crossing to Cape Lear Island, 8 miles away. All the roads on the island are being resurfaced, and everything for this huge project must be transported by this ferry one trip at a time. With everything on board, we close the door. My friend Pat Collins is our skipper.
A paver, they're for when they do go to tarring and chipping the roads inside her. All that gear has been brought in now, and there's still about maybe 6,000-7,000 tonnes of the limestone 804 to go in.
How much have you brought over already?
There's about 7,000 or 8,000 tonnes gone in. There's 15,000 or 16,000 tonnes in total to go in.
And how much do you bring over per trip?
About 65-66 tonne. Her load line is 69 tonnes, and we just try and keep light of that all the time. Just watch her load line on the side and just keep safe.
How many trips did you make a day?
Five, six, depending. Davy Ryan there is one of the skippers. I'd be one of the skippers. Kieran and Lucas are the crew. And we'd change over there during the day, like when we'd be working a long day from 5:30 in the morning until maybe 9 or 9:30 at night. So we'd change over. We'd change over the middle of the day, 1 or 2 o'clock. And that
It's a big job.
It's a huge job, yeah. There's a lot of cargo to go in. Like Vincey was saying, and he'll tell you later, he's been drawing cargo to the islands for years. And I remember years ago, the Dunaree, like that time, it was a big boat, and carrying, you'd see a truck back down the pier and tip over the pier into the Dunaree, and it was unloaded with a crane and inside. And that was great technology back then, but things just move forward. And
here now you're loading the stone with mechanical shovel?
Mechanical shovel, yeah. There's loads about 6.5-7 ton ago. And
so he just drives onto the ferry here, dumps it?
Yeah, approximately 6.5 ton ago he'd load, and we take 9-10 shovels each go, and it's unloaded inside in with it's like a rubber wheel Hi-Mac, rubber duck they call it. It's unloaded in Cape with that onto 6-ton dumpers and taken up and stored on the pier temporarily. But when we were coming back to get our next load, they're dispersing that, taking it around the island and storing it in places around the island ready for people to subcontract it to do the laying of the road. And Sharage are the company that have the contract, and they've subbed out the laying of the road. So they wanted over half of the stuff in, which we have. I'd say we've, but there's another 3 to 4 weeks, or 3 weeks and then 4 weeks. That's all down to the lapse of the gods, the weather, everything. That's if you get 6 runs a day for 6 days. Should get it in another 4 weeks, but like that, it's weather.
Well, last weekend we had a beautiful day and plenty of time to talk to the crew.
My name is Davy Ryan, from Baltimore, and I'm one of the skippers on the Sabrina 2.
Today we're going over to Cape Lear. What route are you taking? You're not going out around open ocean outside of Shirk. We're going in through a few gaps.
Yeah, so we're going up between the islands. This route, it's known as the North Route to Cape. We'll be landing on the in the north.
I'd call it going through the gap.
Yeah, through the gap. Yeah, exactly, up through the sound. So we take this route now because it's a more sheltered route. It's the quicker route to North Harbour. It's a lot safer for us to travel this route when we've a full cargo, a full complement aboard. It's a lot more scenic as well.
Yeah. Today the sea is flat, calm. What kind of conditions would you not go out in?
Any rough weather conditions. So we can travel up to 4, 6 or 7, but no more than that. It's just not safe for anybody working on board or cargo. And we can't land on the slips on the islands either, because the draw is too much.
How often do you make this trip, and how many times have you done it?
God, I can't count the
number of times. Are you in your 20s?
Oh yeah, I'm 25, yeah. I've hundreds of times, yeah. I've lost count now at this stage. So definitely into the hundreds anyway, so well used to the route.
What's life like sailing a ship like this for a living?
I wouldn't trade it in for the world, do you know. I started when I was on a 12 or 13 working for my uncle. And
that's Vincent who owns this boat.
Vincent, yeah. And that's what I've been at ever since, really. Do you know, I've gone to college, done my tickets, and, you know, couldn't be happier doing the job that I'm doing.
You wouldn't take your ticket and go abroad on a cruise ship or anything?
Come the end of the summertime now, when there's things start to kind of wind up and it won't be as busy, I'll probably look at work elsewhere, be it fishing or domestic cargo.
What's this boat like to handle? She looks kind of square.
To be honest, sweet as a nut. In fairness, though, she's a dream to handle. Do you know? I drive her easier, handier than I drive my car.
And it's very much a working boat. Like, there are no luxuries in here.
No, it's quite a working man's boat. You wouldn't be having any gin and tonic here at all. But in fairness, there's always room for a cup of coffee here and a sandwich on board. So, what more could you want?
There's a big rock, I know, on the way over, right in the middle of here, between Sherkin and Hare Island. Lots of people have hit it because it's on the wrong place in the chart.
If you're talking about this rock here now, the Mullin Rock.
That's the one?
Yeah, so that's just off Drawland Point of Sherkin.
How accurate are the charts here? Because people believe that this one is in the wrong place on the chart.
It's quite accurate. You'll never see that rock showing, but we'd say if there was a heavy swell coming in the bay, you'd see waves breaking over the rock. So when I was being taught how to drive this boat now, we were always taught to, on lines, how would I say, points, you'd be looking at points ashore.
You're taking a transit to
guide,
as you go along.
Yeah, transit, yeah, to guide yourself around the rock. So we'll be doing that on our way out to Cape. So we've never hit the rock and we don't plan to either.
Up ahead, Hare Island?
Hare Island, that's correct, yeah.
Sherkin Island just here. How many people live there?
There's roughly around 80. And that is boosted up to maybe around 120 during the summertime. You'd get residents coming down and staying here for the summertime.
And Cape, how many people live there?
Cape, again, there's roughly 120 living out there.
Along the way, we got a weather report from Valencia.
Northerly winds veering northeasterly will reach for 6 at times later today and overnight on all Irish coasts. I'm repeating it, the smart craft warning, she permitted at 1100 hours. Northerly winds veering northeasterly will reach for 6 at times later today and overnight on all Irish coasts. That's the end of the news. Small craft warning. This is Valencia Coast Gravity. Morning.
Along the way, Pat Collins told me about our cargo for today. So we've got two what you call pavers, like tarmac machines.
Yeah.
A steamroller.
Roller.
A tractor with a big water tank.
Yeah, that's a water tank for, I'd say they'll be wetting down that 804, the limestone.
And we've got a Jeep.
Jeep, yeah, for one of the people on the island.
Tell me something about this ferry. What's she called?
The Sabrina 2. She's just a general cargo ferry. Brings loose cargo, trucks, everything. It services all the islands, habited and uninhabited. Cattle to the calves, the schemes. Like, services all the habited islands in, like, Long Island, Hare Island, Sherkin, Cape Clear.
You've been further afield in it as well?
Yeah, we've done other jobs as well. Like, yeah, she's licensed on the fire side as well in the UK, so we keep that license active, and she's surveyed annually for that. The odd contract we would get in the UK, so you just have to keep the survey for both sides of the water up to date.
We're coming out of Baltimore. You're a Baltimore native, lived here all your life.
Yeah, lived here all my life, done a lot of different things between fishing, the start of my life as a boat builder in Skinner's Boat Yard here in Baltimore, which sadly has closed, and a lot of all the boat yards that were building traditional wooden boats for years, it seems to be going that way. There's a few surviving, which is great to see. Hagerty's Boat Yard here in Baltimore has built a couple of very rebuilt a couple of famous boats, the Island, and now rebuilding the Saoirse. It is lovely to see the tradition being kept alive, but there was a lot of that going when I was serving my time back in the 80s, early 80s, and like, things change, things move forward, and that's it. Like, we just have to keep moving with the times.
You're very active in the lifeboat as well. You're...
Well, one of the assistant coxswains, yeah, and I've been on the crew for a good few years now, and my father, my father was there before that, and my son is there. He's away at sea at the moment now. He's Merchant Navy. He's he's on the cruise ships with Carnival P&O, and he loves it. He's just gone back to sea there. He's nearly 3 weeks of his time of the next 12 done. He'll be home in July. He'll be home for a good chunk of the summer until early October again. He loves what he does, and that's it. The sea, I suppose, is in our blood. There's one thing for sure. There's no 2 days the same. Every day you go to sea, there's something different.
Now, Pat, we're coming up to Cape Clear, and we're going into what they call North Harbour, because there are two harbours on Cape.
Yeah, North Harbour is the harbour that the commercial traffic use, the ferries, this roll-on, roll-off ferry, and a lot of vessels that come into the harbour visiting, they use North Harbour. South Harbour is a nice sheltered harbour. It's mainly for people who want to go in, drop the anchor, stay on board, or maybe have a little tender that they draw ashore. But North Harbour now was it last year or the year before last, they got a nice little pontoon and in the inner harbour, and it was successful last year. There was a lot of yachts used that tied up there. A lot of people overnighted there, and it was good for the economy in the island as well.
50 minutes after leaving Baltimore, we arrive on Cape and unload. And there to meet us was Islander Micheál O'Caolagan.
I was manager of the Corcoman and chairman of the Corcoman Claire for managing it for 10 years, chairman for 15 years, and involved since 1969. So lived in Cape all my life, for better or worse.
We're here now, we're sitting on your boat in beautiful North Harbour in Cape Clear, the hills all around us. Huge project, building project going on here.
There is indeed. There have been a big project for the last 2.5 years, really. Something we were waiting for quite a while was we got a whole new water scheme, which was marvellous, really, because last year, being a very, very dry year, only that Irish Water had taken a decision to put all new pipes in Cape, and that was great, that project was completed as far as the waterworks is concerned, but the roadworks are in place now, so that's really a big project.
We heard earlier tens of thousands of tons of material coming over. Every bit of road here is being redone.
The most of it is being redone. What's being redone, really, Fergal, is the road that the water pipe was put on, but Cork County Council have given us an undertaking that there's probably another kilometre, maybe less, of road to be done as well, and they're hoping to get that done in the present scheme. Now, to go back to what you said about tens of thousands of tons, probably 30,000 tons, which is a big lot of stone to be shifted in the last 2.5 years, particularly in the last 3 months. We were so lucky, I suppose, number one, that the weather was good. Number two, we're so lucky that the facility is in Baltimore, the manpower to follow it, and all that goes with it. I mean, it looks a simple job when everything is working right and when everybody knows what they're doing. I suppose there's a few pluses in the job, because, as you know very well, dealing with the marine world, transporting that kind of stuff out 8 miles in the Atlantic is not simple. It looks simple when people that know what they're doing are doing it.
If you're going to build something here on Cape, how much extra does the transport cost? Is it 10, 20% extra?
Approximately a third. It could go a little more, depending what you are building, but definitely a third.
You've got quite a few projects, though, going here over the last few years. We're sitting here now at a lovely new marina.
Yes, indeed. We're grateful indeed to Simon Coven, really, Simon Coveney. He pushed the project along, probably. Complete new pier, in some senses, not at all, no, let me say. And we have a very, very fine marina, and we have lock gates, I suppose you could call them. Well, what happens there is when the, what we call draw, when there's a big motion inside, you take in the ferry boat or any other boat that's there, and you close up the gate, you just press a button, and the gate is closed after, which is marvellous for the ferry service, because it was very hard for those guys to make a decision at 4 o'clock in the morning when, in the old system, because they'd have to take what we call the boat outside the pier. No, you can stay in there until 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Okay, so there's enough water for them to stay in there with the tide.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a big job done here. I mean, we know how, where we're sitting now at low water, we have 3 metres of water underneath us, which is marvellous, which allows most yachts to get in and out, no problem. And it allows the ferry boat to be afloat all the time. And that gave us many pluses from the point of view that if you have a bad day and if it calms later during the day, well, then you can go away. Whereas Longo, once you decided you were either, you know, if you came out, you had to stay outside.
Yeah.
And now you have options, really.
What's life like on the island here? It's just incredibly peaceful now this morning.
Yes, well, I suppose we're coming into the busy season now, right? I always like when someone like yourself, Fergal, comes along and says about the peaceful. Yes, it is very peaceful for the people that come along, but for the people inside, if you're living in Cape or on any island, you're looking at doing at least 10 hours a day and not getting very well paid the most of the time. Really, I suppose, in a nutshell, life in the islands are really, how would I put it, people or communities with a different set of circumstances. We touched on it a minute ago about getting the 30,000 tonnes of stuff into Cape, a major project, but that's what we are. We're not going into deep, big detail. We're people with a different set of circumstances, and unfortunately, civil service and various departments doesn't all the time understand our situation.
You'd like, I understand you'd like more people to come to live here.
We would indeed. It is extremely hard to keep a population in areas like Cape or any island, because we don't have permanent jobs, really. And I mean, fishing and farming, yes, they're a way of life, not a way of making a living. You certainly want to be very big in Botham, and even at that today, I think you'd be struggling. So, I mean, the younger people then are educated for another way of life, which is mainly computers, or in that area anyway. So it is hard. We would like to, we're hoping we're setting up a bit of a distillery that may employ a few people. We have always been looking at ways to employ a few people, but it's very, very hard, I mean, to keep people if there isn't employment there, because you need X amount of cash at the end of the week. Simple as that.
Yeah. If I want to come to live here, are there houses available for me, or would I have to build a house myself, or is there other ones for sale?
We would always like to think that we could provide some kind of accommodation, I suppose you could call it, for a person to come along. And as I say, I managed the Corkman before Martin O'Moyle for 10 years, and I would always say to people, look, come, live with us for a year. If you're happy, stay. And if you're not happy, don't stay. Really, unhappy people in any community, it's not great. The people, you know, most people that come has to be trying, you know, make out a living for themselves. If they can do it in the modern world with computers and things, that's great. So that's where we are, really.
We're sitting on your own beautiful boat here. What's she called and what do you do with her?
She's the Gashkanan. The Gashkanan is the Gashkanan Sound. Is I live up the road from there. I look at it every day of the year. It's the sound between Cape and Shirkin.
And you bring people out on this boat?
Yeah, I take people out. We just bird watching project. I'm involved with a very nice gentleman there, Paul Connaughton. He, an expert, let me say, in the bird world, and he organised to take people down, and I take him out. I talk nice to him, and I make coffee for him.
It's a good life here.
Well, yes, I think, yes, there are people in worse places, I'm sure. But no, it's a very good life, really. Very healthy. But again, going back to life, I mean, we do work hard enough. It may not appear when you come in sometimes that we work that hard, but we do. At the same time, we have a way of life, I suppose, that's really different, which was more like the way of life 40, 50 years ago back in the mainland.
Vincent O'Driscoll is the ferry operator, and this is a huge job for them.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it adds a lot to it. It is. You have to unload it and load it and unload it. Some one way or another, either by crane or by digger or whatever. One time, when I started, it was an even bigger job. A lot of it had to be shoveled off by hand. So, but things have come on a long ways, yeah.
How many trips do you think it will take you?
For this job? I think there's about 230 trips in total for it. It is. That's it. And how are we working on it? Six trips a day, 6 days a week, 6 weeks.
Okay.
But that won't work out like that with weather and stuff. Probably the guts of 2.5 months' work.
So last weekend now, for example, Storm Hannah must have stopped you for a day or two, didn't it?
Oh, I did, yeah. So there was no boat at the pier here in Baltimore for Friday. We finished up on Thursday, actually. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before it was anywhere near fitting in to go to work.
Now, when you're getting on the Stone, for example, we're here at a slipway, at the new slipway. You drop down the front of the boat. What happens then?
Lorries back on and tip on border, three at a time. And we're off to Cape. We do six, seven runs a day.
So to get it off, is it a digger at the other end?
A digger at the other end then, and dumpers that take it off and distribute it around the island and key locations for when the job starts in earnest next week, I think.
How long have you been operating these ferries out of Baltimore?
I'll be at it 40 years on the 1st of June.
How did you start? What was the start?
By accident, I started. It was a result of a storm, really. The first boat I ever had belonged to another man on the island, and he was away and she went ashore and I rescued her, and he was away quite a bit, so he asked me would I go work here, and that's how I ended up doing it.
Yeah, and have you gone through a few boats since then?
We had the first one for a long time. That was just tip one lorry at a time into it, and she had a little small crane. You'd put it off into tractors and trailers. 18 years ago, I got my first Ro-Ro ferry that you could actually take a lorry or a van or a car to the island. And since then, I've gone through. This is my third one.
Yeah.
First one was too small. The second one was a bit too big, and we ran into trouble with regulations. And this one, she's serving us good at the moment anyway, over about 4 years.
But you bring cattle from island to island?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cattle, anything that moves, we move it on the islands, really, you know, except for very small stuff that the ferries can take by hand, really.
So is life on the islands... Are you from
one of the islands, yeah.
Has life there got easier over the years?
Yeah, there's no doubt this system. A lot of things when we were growing up weren't possible. A lot of things aren't possible without this kind of service, you know. When they built the hotel on Shirkin, there was a mobile crane went out there, the same as the mainland. It certainly had made life an awful lot easier there.
On the return journey from Cape on the Sabina 2, I got to speak to another crew member.
My name is Lucas and I live in Baltimore.
That's not a Baltimore accent?
No, I was born in Poland.
How long have you lived here?
14 years, almost.
What do you do here now on the ferry? We're just leaving Cape Clear after bringing over yet another load?
That depends on the owner. If there be some cargo or some other stuff to shift, we do it between the islands, you know. And after that, it's just maintenance.
What kind of maintenance is on a ship like this? I saw you were doing some welding earlier.
Oh, like that will be, you know, there's lots of steel and lots of other parts that they're moving, and you have to make sure they're in the good order, in good condition. Including engines and propellers and shafts and all that stuff like that. So anything that's common to the boats.
We're here leaving North Harbour, Cape Clear. It's a long way from Poland.
2,000 kilometres.
How did you end up here?
Marine College. I was fishing here for the last, 12 years. So I am after Marine College and Fishing College in Greencastle. So all common to boats and sea.
Are you from near the sea in Poland?
Oh yeah, I was born close to coast, like, and I was in Marine College as well, like, so I love water and boats.
Yeah,
that's my passion. Yeah, so it doesn't matter, it's a fishing boat or it's a big boat or it's a ferry or cargo ship, whatever.
Is it a life that you'd recommend to young people leaving school going to sea like this?
You should do what you like, so that's my recipe. If you do what you like and you enjoy what you like, that's my theory. Yeah.
Leaving Cape and looking back at its hills, it reminds me of a poem I recently came across by the late Richard Murphy, called High Island. He once owned that island off Connemara. It's now for sale, and his poem is an evocation of island life.
This poem, which I call High Island, begins with a distant view of the island, and it gets closer and closer into the heart of it, the bird life, the monastic calm. A shoulder of rock sticks high up out of the sea, a fisherman's mark for lobster and blue shark. Fissile and stark, the crust is flaking off. Seal rock, gull rock, cove and cliff. Dark mounds of mica schist. A lake, mill and chapel, roofless, one gable smashed, lie ringed with rubble. An older calm, the kiss of rock and grass, pink thrift and white sea campion, flowers in the dead place. Day keeps lit a flare round the North Pole all night, like brushing long wavy hair, petrels quiver in flight, quietly as the rustle of an arm entering a sleeve. They slip down to nest under altar stone or grave. Round the wrecked Laura, needles flicker, tacking air quicker and quicker to rock, sea and star.